B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb,
bomb, bomb! Go Red Sox!
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb!
Wall dick, well, yeah!
She made out with my dad.
Hello! Welcome to the show!
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I got angry at some of the things you said about are allowed to happen, so maybe tit for tat.
Jim, I would say that the ledger is clearly in my favor when it comes to things I've said about you versus things you've said about me.
Let's just let that go then,
because you know I'm telling the truth.
No, well, you know that you've also harmed me many times with your derogatory ways of handling the show. And
how have I harmed you?
Crap, go on.
How have I harmed you?
You let the Ted Williams crap that I never said what you claimed I said. I just said if I had been able to continue my career, I think I might, there's a chance I could have been as good. That's all I said. Anything wrong with that?
No.
I never said I was better than Ted Williams. Never said anything like that. But you perpetuated that lie.
So you would have been near Ted Williams, close to Ted Williams?
I said I could hit a baseball. I thought if I'd been able to continue to play without getting hurt, I thought I could have perhaps been as good. Is anything wrong with that kind of confidence?
You could have perhaps been as good as the greatest hitter in baseball history.
Oh, you know, nobody could ever equal Ted Williams in your mind.
Well, no one ever has.
Well, maybe I could have.
Certainly some guy who never even made it to college ball.
I got hurt when I was 17, Paul.
Okay.
You don't blame me for that?
I'm not blaming you for anything, Jim, but there's a big difference.
Let me make my point that I called about, all right?
But there's a big difference between, you know, playing ball at 17 and being better or almost as good or perhaps almost as good as the greatest baseball hitter of all time.
Well, whatever you say, Paul, but that's not exactly the truth. When you could hit a baseball, and you people that saw me hit a baseball could tell you.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. 98.5 The Sports Hub, and that is the Paul Feinbaum Show, who has the easiest job in the history of the world.
And that is Uncle Rico apparently calling in. I completely forgot about that clip, but the guy who played high school ball and said he was as good as Ted Williams. Did you guys ever, like, grow up with an Uncle Rico somewhere living in your neighborhood? The guy that, you know, Al Bundy, the dude who thought that he was, if it wasn't for X or Y, that they would have been the greatest blank ever?
Yes.
No, I did not grow up around that.
Yep. A guy who played college football at a Division III level but said if he hadn't hurt his knee in high school, he could have been Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I mean, I had a dude that said that if he hadn't broken his finger, this is a true story. This guy was in a rock band called Velvet Buzzsaw, and he said that one time John Bon Jovi was in town, like they were playing at a concert, and that the same night their band was set to play at this after party, and he said that he had broken his fingers a couple days before the concert, so he wasn't able to play, so a replacement guitarist had to go in, and he said that if he was playing that night, John Bon Jovi would have seen them, and they would have been the biggest band in the world and signed them and would have signed them, and they would have gone on to huge things. And that was his big thing. If he hadn't broken his finger and was able to play that night. By the way, no evidence that John Bon Jovi ended up going to Charlie Magruder's, which was 45 minutes away in Kennesaw, Georgia, to watch this band play. But either way, he thought that John Bon Jovi would have heard how great he was and gone and seen him and then signed him to a record deal.
Well, that's a 98-mile situation, or an 8-mile situation, is that, you know, you only get one shot in this world, one opportunity.
Don't break your finger.
Yeah, you got to be ready to take it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you break his finger? Big fist fight?
I have no idea how he broke his finger. He probably told me 1,000 times, and for some reason, I just remembered the Bon Jovi part of it, because to me, that's really all you needed to hear.
I know one who said they could have been someone, but I do have a guy that I've said before that I was in a band with, and then he didn't show up for practice one day, and then we said, "What were you doing?" When he showed up the next day, and he goes, "Rocking the dome." We're like, "What are you doing? What do you mean?" He goes, "I was playing the Silver Dome, which was where the Lions played, that sat 80,000 people." or, you know, 60,000 people, and where WrestleMania 3 was, the largest indoor sporting event of all time. And he said that he had played there and expected us to believe it. And we were like, okay, well, obviously you've played the Silverdome, so everything's all set.
Don't mention, Fred, don't mention wrestling this morning. You don't understand how sensitive all of the people at our station are. It was a rough, rough evening for them yesterday because Becky Lynch had to go into the own Becky Lynch who bit her lip while she was doing the interview with you guys and made Bird's head turn red. Yes.
Yes.
She had to go into the ring yesterday and announce that she is giving up her international title of awesomeness, whatever she has. Because she is indeed pregnant. I think the father is the father, Seth Rollins. Am I right about that?
Yes, you are correct. Yes. Okay.
What a heel turn. Getting her pregnant. That's a heel turn.
So there. That was a big deal on the Sports Hub Twitter yesterday. A lot of at Becky Lynch congratulations turns her way. You go be a great mother. You're already the best diva alive. So I mean,
they're not divas anymore.
Are they divas? Is that what they are now? Is divas or
did they still use that name? I'm not quite sure. At Real Page WWE, you're the new diva. Because Seth Rollins hooked. I didn't realize that they were a thing. So jealous. And he had, I think Chase too, like, had some gif that he put up there of like Becky Lynch slapping Seth Rollins on the rear end, and he was like, good luck in the future or something like that. I don't know what he was
really
doing.
So there was controversy in the world. She broke character. Mm-hmm. You don't do that. Hey. No way, Jose. You don't get pregnant during wrestling season. All I see right here on my Twitter is that Paul Stanley goes, happy birthday, Eric Singer. Mm-hmm. I've been blessed to have you in my life for 30 plus years. Eric Singer has been in the band for 30 plus years.
Wow.
A friend and the timekeeper who I can always depend on with a Kiss or Soul Station. You're the cat I need. So Soul Station is his like doo-wop group.
Yep.
So Paul Stanley's got Eric Singer all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And then the next tweet, chicken fettuccine at Food Network. Delicious.
Hashtag Food Network. Hashtag, he loves to cook. Mm-hmm. He wants his own show. So Becky Lynch is pregnant.
Becky Lynch pregnant from Seth Rollins.
Well, you know, it's interesting because they're on the road together, so they probably made love to create the baby.
She couldn't keep her hands off him after the Money in the Bank match.
He got that briefcase full of cash.
Money in the Bank, the sperm bank. Jesus.
She didn't need that. He did it au naturel.
We should check in on them this morning. See how they're doing.
He put the key in the keyhole and turned it into a wonderful life. But she had to turn in her belt, so I guess she's the big loser.
I guess so. Matter of fact, there were some people on Twitter calling her selfish for getting pregnant while she was the title holder. At least, you know, give someone else a chance to be able to beat the man, which is, of course, her nickname.
Of course. Of course it is. It makes all the sense in the world.
Seth Rollins got the man pregnant. Ha ha. It's like he's gay or something. These are jokes.
Can't get a man. Hey, from my understanding of the anatomy of the humans, you can't get a guy pregnant.
No, you can't get the man pregnant. You didn't see the joke only works if you use her nickname, the man. So
I don't think you can make a man pregnant.
So this morning, unfortunately, there is a lot of heartbreak. Some pride. Some people are happy. Some people are disappointed. They think that she should have staved off getting pregnant. so she could actually fight to lose her title. Look, you got her just relinquishing her title. You got Gronk apparently coming back, and he's just going to have to relinquish his. Like, nobody's title means anything anymore. I don't know what to believe.
It's like boxing. I mean, you know, they've cheapened the meaning of a title. Mm-hmm. I mean, not like Don Morocco, the Intercontinental Champion of the world for so many years. So, you know, what are you going to do? That is, you know, Don Morocco held that Intercontinental Championship that no one really cared about. Jimmy Superfly Snuka would occasionally try to win it, but ultimately fail. Who was the other guy that wrestled Don Morocco? Oh, he was real fast.
Oh, what year is this? Because once again,
we're talking about 87.
Okay.
Steamboat. Who was Steamboat? Ricky Steamboat, I believe. He would always fight Don Morocco for the Intercontinental Championship. That was what was going on there.
Yeah, Ricky Steamboat. That is his name. That's not a good name.
Yeah, Ricky Steamboat. He was a steamboat. He went, whoo-hoo.
They had to change his name to Ricky the Dragon Steamboat because that's got a little more pizzazz than just Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah, it's got pizzazz. It's like a Broadway play. Pizzazz.
He is 67 years old now, good old Ricky Steamboat.
Still 67
holding
years
up well.
Old young.
Yep.
67 years old young. Mm-hmm. All right, Rich, what do we got coming up?
Oh, well, it looks like there was trouble in paradise over there on the sidelines of the Patriots for the last several years. Are Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels just not as close as we all thought they were?
That's a shame. All right, we will find out all about that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Dutcher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Dutcher and Rich. And Rich, there is a controversy amongst the reporting of the New England Patriots. What's going on?
Well, now we know the real reason Brady went to Tampa Bay, all rights reserved. It apparently wasn't that he didn't get the extension he wanted the year before or the fact that they never really gave him a legit offer this offseason. No, the reason, I guess, was Josh McDaniels. Well, that's if you believe Gary Myers, who I'm not sure is with the New York Daily News anymore. Who is he with?
He's not with anyone that I saw.
He's just
former Dallas Morning News, former New York Daily News NFL columnist.
Okay, so he's okay. Dan's telling me that he is a contributor to The Athletic now. Okay, all right. Because I looked and I went on his bio and I'm like, I thought he was with the Daily News, but then again, he's not there anymore. Well, yesterday, he tweeted, quote, "Hard to present an order of why Tom Brady didn't want to return to the Patriots, but one thing that has been very much overlooked, according to an excellent source, his deteriorating relationship with OC Josh McDaniels. Tom was worn out by Josh after all these years. He said, that surprised me. They made seem they were brothers fighting after sideline blowups. Worse than that, Brady also wanted more input into the game plan. Also, he knew it was his final season in New England and said when he didn't trust wide receivers, he didn't throw to them. Bad look. Pats lacked reliable wide receivers other than Edelman. So in my opinion, here's why Brady is not in New England in no order. One, he was worn out by Belichick. It's not fun in New England. Two, he could create competition with Bill Belichick to see who could win a Super Bowl without the other. Three, tired of McDaniels. Four, wanted more money and more than a one-year deal. Five, talent around him diminished. And six, warm weather. So there you go, Josh McDaniels.
He's theorizing the whole relationship. He's saying that he doesn't have any sources.
No, he did say he had a source. He said that
weather was one
but
of them.
But one thing is very much overlooked, according to an excellent source.
Oh.
His deteriorating relationship with OC Josh McDaniels. He said Tom was worn out by Josh.
OG Ice-T.
No, OG. He is an original gangster. But so there you go. To that, Tom Brady posted a picture on his Instagram plastered with a bunch of articles that kind of looked like the cover of GNR's Lies album. Each article about the fallout between Brady and McDaniels. But on top of all of that, Brady typed the words, quote, "Please stop this nonsense. Please be more responsible with reporting. 19 years together and brothers for life," heart emoji, at @real_Josh_McD. First of all, did Josh McDaniels have to get real_Josh_McD because someone had already set up a fake Josh McDaniels account?
No, just so you want to know, everyone wants to know that you're real.
Like, who's the guy that wants to be Josh McDaniels on Twitter?
Maybe Real from the Stallionaires.
Well, he took a chance. That would be his brother.
Originally taken that?
Maybe he did, but
the strong,
here's Strong
Silent One.
That's right.
After Chance's thuggish ways.
He's got very thuggish ways. Here is Jason Lockenfora on the situation.
He was obviously ready for a change. I mean, we know that much, right? He was not all about being in New England anymore. How much of it was Josh McDaniels? I don't know. I mean, I think it's really, that's Bill Belichick's deal there. You know, I think he'd probably had enough of Bill Belichick. I think Bill Belichick was ready to go with a different model of quarterback, younger, cheaper. They need more roster flexibility. This was just time to move on. I don't think Josh McDaniels was a huge part of the equation.
You know, maybe he was worn out by it, but to have that be, how was it quoted, to be, he was worn out by Josh McDaniels, that surprised me. One thing's very much been overlooked, like, as a reason he was leaving. Dude, if they would have given him the money that he wanted, and if they would have, like, given him the Drew Brees deal, it wouldn't have mattered. I mean, I'm sure that there was times where he got pissed off at Josh McDaniels, and it probably was infuriating that, you know, we saw last season the play calling wasn't great, and especially if you had any kind of play that was designed where Tom Brady had to rely on these guys, these receivers that he didn't have trust with, I bet that would piss him off too. So, to the point where that was like one of the main reasons he left, no, it just was because the Patriots didn't want him.
He loved Josh's thuggish ways.
He loved Josh's thuggish ways. Well,
that's right. Josh, and he loved that voice, just screaming in his ear.
Yes, it was like being yelled at by the elf dentist the entire time, yes.
His thuggish ways.
Well, one thing we do know is that...
You got me all on the Stallionaires.
Dude, I love the Stallionaires. I want to go back and I want to
watch the entire season. If you don't know who the Stallionaires are, ladies and gentlemen, they are a... they were on... I Love New York, which was a reality show on VH1 where everyone was vying for the hand of New York, this woman. And there were straight from Lexington, Kentucky, or I'm not even sure if it was Lexington. It might have been a smaller area. They were the Stallionaires who rapped about, there were two, biological brothers, they said. And one was Chance, who was like the hype man. And he had the fast tongue, and the other one was Real, who I believe is past. I believe Real is not with us anymore.
Oh boy!
But he had just like straight long hair, and would sit there, and he was very stoic. But I mean, so Stallionaires, you know, a lot of people, they were unique in the fact that a lot of people, like rappers, would rap about, you know, gold chains and this and that and money. But the Stallionaires were not that way. The Stallionaires would rap about their love of horses,
which is something that's very relatable to most people, I would think.
Well, they
I love Chance's thuggish ways.
Oh, that's there one of go. The greatest. She's breaking down the two guys that she's going to pick, and she ultimately does not pick Chance.
Nope.
She's like, I like, you know, this one guy's like very romantic and muscular. But then she's weighing the two of them, and she goes, "I love Chance's thuggish ways." Mm-hmm. And so...
I love Chance's thuggish ways.
I looked for that clip for years and couldn't find it.
That season's got to be downloadable. You got to be able to watch it on TV now.
Well, yeah, I don't think you can pay for it. And okay, right here in my dad's office, there is an episode of Family Matters. And the grandmother just flipped a burglar over. She flipped him. And so the fun part of that is that, you know, this old lady hurt a guy. She loved his thuggish ways.
She did love that guy's thuggish
ways. I love Chance's thuggish ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do know that Tom Brady is much more thuggish when it comes to bringing in the box office dollars than Josh McDaniels. Tickets on the secondary market for the Patriots are down big time for the upcoming season.
Shock.
How much?
Because they're not going to be good. It's interesting that they went down when they're not going to be good.
How much? 39%. That is the biggest year-to-year drop in the league. So, hey, if there are indeed crowds at the games this season, then maybe you can afford to go to one for the first time in decades. A 39% drop on the secondary market. But on the other side of the coin, tickets to see a home Tampa Bay game, or I'm sorry, Tampa Brady, all rights reserved, they have gone up 135%. Now, the only higher increases from season to season are the Raiders. Now, they're a whopping 527% Vegas, it's the thing.
Raiders are like $1,000 a ticket now, right?
Yeah, it's insane.
Dude, have fun with that for three games. But, okay.
I mean, the Vegas Knights are a massive success story. Like, Vegas works as a sports town, which is
insane. We'll see.
Also, Vegas came hot right out of the box. I mean, their first year, they went to the Stanley Cup Final. I got that right. Yeah. History's correct. Yeah, yes. It wasn't the second year. It was the first year, yeah.
No, it was the first year, yeah.
And the Bengals are another one that skyrocketed up. They went up 147%. And take a guess who the other team is that's even ahead of Tampa Brady. Now I'm saying it. As far as the biggest increase from last season to this season. This one's a shocker.
Fred, you should know this.
What, the Jets because of Sammy D?
The Jets, 153% increase. I get the Raiders, the Bengals. I was thinking about it. I was like, why the hell did the Jets get a spike? Do you think it's because Brady is gone and there's a modicum of hope amongst the fan base?
I think that's part of it.
Absolutely. I think that they believe they have the best quarterback in the division and that they have a very good chance of winning the division, despite what the experts say. I'm not quite sure why they are. Listen, the Jets always disappoint and they always suck. I'm not going to sit here and claim that that's not the truth, but I mean it's the first time in 20 some odd years that they've had the best quarterback in the AFC East, and so I would imagine that they. Is a drawing point.
But it's one thing to, have an uptick. They had a larger percentage increase than Tampa Bay. One of the worst teams in the league goes to having Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. The entire league is talking about them, and they went up 135%, and the Jets went up 153%.
But you have to remember, Rich, the classiness of the Jet fan. I mean, they're like all the Monopoly guy. You have to remember that the Jets fans are rolling in cash.
I mean, don't care. I don't care what anyone's.
New York is a phenomenally wealthy place.
Right. Well, everyone looks like a cast member from Easy Money.
Yeah, Suffolk County, by the way, is also a tremendous place. If you get Newsday, you're basically a Jets fan, and that's it. Only places that get Newsday. Which, by the way, now is a tabloid with four pages. Those are the people that are Jet fans. But no, I mean, I'm surprised to hear that. I guessed it because you said, Fred, you should know. But the only thing I can think is that after all these years, they truly believe they can win that division is the only thing. And I do think they could win that division.
But how amazing is it going to be to watch the AFC East this year? Like, I'm fascinated by all this because, obviously with the Patriots. Like, if Bill Belichick makes it work with Jarrett Stidham, that's unbelievable. And then all of a sudden, it's like everyone's on the Belichick train. And then truly, I'm telling you, this is going to be, if he finds any modicum of success, he is going to be the happiest we have seen him in forever, because you're going to know that he's the guy, he's the genius. But you're right, the Jets do technically have the best quarterback right now in the division.
Because we don't know what Stidham is.
I know.
He's 22 years old. He's been in the league for 2 years. You got to give the guy a chance. But I will tell you this: is that if you break down the teams, the Jets have by far a better running game. The Jets have equal receivers. The Jets have it.
Bills pretty damn good.
Fred, come on.
Bills are really good, man. They just got Stephon Diggs.
Bills have much better receivers than the Jets do.
No, I'm talking about with the Patriots.
Oh, all right.
Okay, well, that's fair.
The Jets have a better defensive line. The Jets have better linebackers. The Jets have better safeties. And the Jets have terrible corners.
But they're still the Jets, and the Patriots have Bill
Belichick. Yeah, but the Jets, you know, they've won the division, or they've beat the Patriots in the playoffs.
But that's why this all makes it so interesting, though, Fred. Like, everything you say, to an extent, is correct. And, you know, the only team that – it's going to be interesting with Miami just because of Tua and what they're going to do there. But the other three teams, like, every single game is going to be – like fascinating. So I've got
storylines for all three teams.
There's no question.
Miami storyline for Miami because they played so well at the end of last season when they had nothing to play for.
And so did the Jets. The Jets played very well at the end of the season too.
I'm not saying they didn't. What I'm saying is all four teams have a story to follow.
John, I'm not saying that you said they didn't. I'm saying that yes, they played well, and everyone loves the Bills. However, they have Josh Allen.
Yep.
And I think that the division is up for grabs. I mean, Adam Gase is not a very good coach, I don't think. But Greg Williams is a good defensive coordinator. As you know, Rich, he could have had any head coaching job in the NFL that he wanted.
He could have. That's what he told us.
And he turned them all down.
Yep.
Because he is a man that, you know, enjoys being humble. But he did a great job last year. And there you go. I mean, it's going to be great. I hope they play. But
I know.
Yeah, like this is the season that it would be, you know, incredibly. The division is finally going to be interesting, is what I would say.
Yeah.
That it's finally going to be interesting.
Every game matters. I mean, it's true. I mean, you used to, like, how many times did you write off the Jets Patriots? You're just like, all right, well, this one's going to be a laugher. And, you know, and if it wasn't in Miami, you'd wrote off the Miami game. And, you know, the Bills just recently started to become somewhat interesting. But now every game matters, every single one of them. So,
well, but if you read, like, the rankings of the teams, I mean, the Jets are supposed to suck. The Jets are behind Miami. The Jets are behind,
last
well
in the division.
Behind Buffalo.
Yep, last in the division. They're expected, according to Vegas, last in the division.
Yep. So, and, you know, Vegas is generally correct, but I would... apparently, Gase is, like, a brilliant guy, like McVay. Like, he can remember, like, plays from, you know, 40 years ago or whatever the hell, but he has a person where he's like a savant, like, you know,
what
I'm saying?
He doesn't have the personal skills, but I get that. Yeah,
like that he's like a savant, like almost like on the spectrum of that. He's so brilliantly you know, he's
the guy from Silicon Valley, Fred.
He's
like a mastermind and can figure it out, but he can't speak to people and connect.
That's exactly – you're absolutely correct. That's a good way to put it.
As a head coach, that might be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, but but you couldn't see him in a meeting, like, impressing someone, like, just going there and going, like, blah, 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 like, you know.
Yeah, great, but you have to motivate people. You have to massage egos. Well, there are a lot of other things you have to do.
Wait. You think the Johnsons made a bad hire? John, I mean, now you've gone too far.
My fault, Fred. My fault.
I mean, you're saying that that Woody Johnson and the crew made a bad hire? I mean, come on. Where are you getting that impression? All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Well, you were saying if there's a season, well, Major League Baseball got together, the owners, and they came out with a plan for an upcoming season, and for some reason, everybody's pissed. We'll get to that.
Everyone's pissed, but it's amazing when money's on the line. Yeah. As I've been predicting, money talks and BS works. But, when you have a lot of money on the line, people find ways around things. So we'll figure all that out in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher Thatcher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
Now, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Last night on Raw. How stupid you have to be to get knocked up while you're a champion. That kid's gonna suck. You know who the father is? I rest my case. That was... Hey, guys. That was... that was Shania Baszler reacting to the Becky Lynch pregnancy news. Crying emoji.
If you wanted to create a real stallion, then you would have to have had her hook up with Dean Ambrose. He would have come out with a full head of perpetually wet hair. It never dries.
Hey, because he's always hustling. And that's something... excuse me. That's something that you'll never understand. Mm-hmm. I have the coronavirus. I just coughed. Things are going wonderfully here, by the way.
The leaving the food on the stairs thing is working for you?
Everything's fine with my parents. It's just okay. I think it's time for people to take some time away from each other.
Everyone needs their space.
I think it's a lot of little things that are... being talked about. I think my parents were essentially therapists yesterday, one after the other. But they're my parents. So you know what that means. They're not on my side.
I think you just gave us the motto of May of quarantine. That is, I think we all need a little time away from each other.
I think it's going to be a good thing when I go back to Boston and everyone's here. I think that might be a refreshing thing for everybody. So, yeah, a little time away from everyone might be just what the doctor ordered.
Might not be the worst thing in the world. So,
all right, so what's going on, Rich?
Well, yesterday, Major League Baseball owners got together and put forth a plan for baseball to start back up again, and now everybody's pissed. I thought this was supposed to be good news, but Shaughnessy and Scott Boras and everyone who's on Twitter all got angry, and maybe Wallach, the guy with the glasses later on, can explain everything to me, but here's the basic details. The plan right now is for baseball to return in early July. It would be an 82-game season with an expanded playoff field. On top of that, there would be a designated hitter for all games, even those in the National League.
Moo.
Oh, yeah, big bats. But the reason
long games. That's right, Johnny. Great minds. Big long games.
4-hour, 9-inning games.
Yeah, exactly. No strategy.
Right now, I'm fine with that.
No pitchers don't mean nothing.
Your final score with pitchers not able to appropriately throw enough innings in preseason, Red Sox 12, Rangers 11.
Yes. And
see you at 11:15.
Yes, a good 4-hour game that you don't want to watch.
Well, the reasoning behind that was apparently because of the significant number of interleague games and also to lower injury risks to the pitchers. Here's Ken Rosen. A little more info on the DH.
In this circumstance, when you're going to be playing interleague quite a bit, I don't know that the NL owners and clubs really had to hold their noses. It's a one-time thing.
Okay.
And they're going to try some other things, I would imagine, too. And this season, it comes with an asterisk, assuming it gets played. It's a different season. It's not a season that you can look at it like any other season. So these kinds of issues, whether it's rescheduling and inequity in scheduling and DH or 12-inning rule where the runner is on second base, it's all for 1 year. It's not going to change the landscape of the sport forever, though if some of these ideas prove to be kind of good, it might. But at the same time, this season is just, it's an anomaly. It's not going to be normal. Like
yeah, right, it's an outlier unless they like them. Well, right. I'll tell you this, is that... if you've watched any National League baseball, it's a far superior product to American League. And John, do you even agree with that? That it's a superior product to the American League?
Here's the problem. I've been watching American League baseball. You and I grew up differently. I've been watching American League baseball for so long. I haven't watched enough National League baseball. Are some World Series games interesting because of the strategy that takes place with your season on the line in like Game 5 of the World Series? Sure, but I don't know if I could last a full season of it. You know?
See, the thing is that if it's not a cerebral game, I find it to be incredibly boring. If it's not, if there's not, you know, oh, well, this guy's an idiot, he's not double switching or something like that. When you have to learn the game, and it requires a lot more knowledge of how the game is played, and I think that adds to a lifelong love of the game.
And bench depth is much more important than the National League.
Yeah.
And if you're an American League team and you have a great bullpen, like the Yankees, they have a great bullpen. You know, you just run guys out there. You know which guy's going to pitch the seventh, which guy's going to pitch the eighth, and who your closer is. But I guess the strategy comes in when your bullpen isn't that good and you're trying to piece things together, but it has nothing to do with double switches. But getting back to the main problem with this proposal by the owners, and Rich, I don't know if you're going to go down the particulars or not.
Yeah, I've got some more, because I mean, there's a decent amount in this proposal. First of all, to minimize travel, as we were talking about, teams that only play against division rivals as well as teams in the corresponding geographic division of the opposite league. And teams also would hold another version of spring training for 2 to 3 weeks starting in mid-June, either at their home park or their complexes in Arizona or Florida. Regular season games played in the home stadiums. Teams would carry expanded rosters, perhaps up to 50 players per team, with at least 30 available for each game. And the postseason would expand to 14 teams from 10, with two additional wild cards in each league. So the team with the best record in each league would earn a spot in the division series, while the wild cards and other division winners would stage a best-of-three series to determine the rest of the division series field. But the proposal also has, and this is what I know you're going to get to, John, the players taking a chunk of the financial hit along with the owners. So the league proposed paying players based on how much money is earned during the shortened season, with teams splitting revenues 50-50 with athletes. Now, that obviously pissed off a bunch of players because they believe they'd given up enough when they agreed in March not to take their salaries unless games were played. On top of that, the current proposal has players pissed off because there aren't many health precautions for themselves or their families or employees of the team and the team facilities and the hotels they're staying at. All of this have boiled to
health precautions in terms of the coronavirus?
Yeah, about a way there's no real provisions in here that like
well
talk
they get
about
the coronavirus they're gonna be able to they're still gonna get paid.
I don't think it's even about paid. It's that they haven't talked about in this proposal like what
if you're flying private planes and you're going to hotels. The chances of them getting sick are much less than you and I.
That's not going to be the deal breaker. The deal breaker is going to be the money.
Well, let's get to this
because money is going to be the deal breaker, and the players thought they were going to get a prorated portion of the contracts they signed. The owners are saying nope.
But John,
for this
season,
we want 50-50.
But John, do you think that that's ridiculous? I mean, wouldn't you say 50-50?
That's what I was getting to. It's a bad look for the players to say, you know what? Screw all you guys. We want our money, and the owners, for a change, don't necessarily have it this year. They're missing half a season. That's 41 games of gain. That's millions of maybe $1 billion of lost revenue. Whatever the TV contracts are, I mean, the owners can't cry poor. They make a lot of money, which is why the players are able to make a lot of money. This is the one year where it's different. And for the players to bitch and moan about a 50-50 split is a very bad look.
And, John, I don't think that they have a leg to stand on because then the league can go, all right, we won't play, you won't get paid.
That's just like, it. Would you rather get 50-50 of something or 100% of nothing?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what do you want them to do?
Are you really going to go to the wall here and say, no, we're not playing unless things change? I think this is a good offer by the owners.
I agree. And by the way, they're using the coronavirus as a bargaining tool, which is ridiculous. If they're flying in private planes and they're staying at Ritz-Carlton's, they get swept with, you know, antibacterial crap, and then they go to locker rooms that get swept with antibacterial crap. I like their chances of not getting the coronavirus based on that.
if you are a luxury hotel chain that routinely houses Major League Baseball teams and a Major League player tests positive for the coronavirus and it's traced back to your hotel, that's it for you.
No one in those hotels no one's going to get the coronavirus in the hotel. No one's going to get the coronavirus in the plane. No one's going to get the coronavirus at the stadium. You could very well get it. I mean, you could get it, you know, walking down the street, someone coughs on you. But you're not getting it from those things.
Well, they got it in the White House, so.
Well, they've also, Rich, I don't have to tell you about, they've been relatively irresponsible in those areas. So,
that's kind of supposed to be our fortress, isn't it? Nothing gets through there, now it's run rampant.
I would also argue that, that they have not been the greatest in protecting themselves. I don't think that they've set a good example for, I would question that analogy in that they've been, I don't know, reckless in the White House about what they've been doing.
Did you see that video of, this was after his valet, Trump's valet was found to have it, and I think it was right when Pence's assistant did too, but they had the meeting of all the Republican senators, and they're all just like hanging out, no masks, like walking up to each other, I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Because they can't wear masks, because they're saying that,
it's
this
not
is
macho.
Nothing.
It's not macho. That's right.
It's not even that, it's just this isn't happening, is the thing.
So if you're
again,
asking,
I will reiterate that despite what you said, the precautions for these players, and especially as time goes on, I think that they're as safe. Okay, I'll say this. They're as safe as anyone could be. Anyone that's not sheltered in a house that's not leaving, but people who are traveling for business and things of that nature, that they're as safe as they're going
to
be.
Well, the biggest problem with all this, Fred, it has nothing to do with that. As you said, I agree with you. That's not the non-starter. It's that there is a legitimate problem when the biggest agent in sports, in baseball right now, who controls a lot of the biggest names in the game, Scott Boras, is putting his foot down and saying, this is a non-starter and my players will not sign this. Yeah. I mean, he has a lot of power.
No, he does. He does. And I don't know ultimately what his end game is.
To get paid, to get his players paid.
Paid. I know. But he knows that they're not going to get, their salaries. So, I mean, John, don't you agree? He knows that they're not going to get full salaries.
I think ultimately a guy as wired in as him knows that what the owners are talking about. And what you have to hope is, if you're a baseball fan, is this is the owner's opening bargaining position. This isn't a take it or leave it type of deal.
No. He's negotiating. But, I mean, there's no way that I'm paying Mike Trout. What does he make a year? $30 million? There's no way I'm paying them that for an 80-game season.
Exactly.
Players
want half of that.
I understand that.
They want to get paid for the games that they're going to play. But the thing is that obviously when you have no gate, what the owners want to do is they want to do 50-50 on the money, like TV and stuff like that.
Right.
Like the money they are getting paid. Yeah, so they'll be making probably about a fourth of what they would normally
make. But I mean, they depend on the gate. Baseball does depend on the gate for one season
for the betterment of the game, to continue the game. I mean, there are larger issues at stake here. I mean, if the owners come back next season and go, I'm sorry, we can't afford, we got to do it for another year, then that's really reprehensible. But for this year, I mean, I completely get where they're coming from.
No, I do too. And I shouldn't say it's all about the gate. I mean, these local TV, it's not national TV contracts, it's local TV contracts, and some of these teams have gigantic ones. I know the Cardinals do, and they're a medium market team. And they have a gigantic radio and television contract. And I certainly would imagine the Yankees aren't struggling for money, nor are the Red Sox. All right, we will be back in just a matter of moments.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.